for all those places out in the world that each of us is going to go out to, because we have sat here with Jesus, it's going to make a difference. So I invite you now to sit with Jesus and to hear from His Word. Now, we've recited the Apostles' Creed all the way through the season of Lent. The last many weeks, we've been actually preparing for today. Season of Lent is a time of preparation for Easter, and that's what we've been doing, and we've used the Apostles' Creed, and we went through kind of a phrase at a time, and we saved out the middle phrase about Jesus. I believe in Jesus. The third day He rose again from the grave. We've saved out that part, and then the last two phrases, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. The resurrection of Jesus makes good, is the guarantee, is the sign that we have, is the assurance that we have, that the last part of the Apostles' Creed, where it's all pointing to, resurrection of the body. Which means we live forever, and we don't live forever as a drop of water into the ocean of the all. Which is a nice thought in certain circles, as though we kind of get absorbed into the all. Isn't it beautiful? No! You cease to exist that way. The Scriptures tell us, Jesus tells us, the Bible tells us, we live forever as ourselves. In fact, I believe in heaven you'll be more yourself than you've ever been here. A body, a better body, one that doesn't decay. I don't understand what kind of body that is, but it sounds good. Forever, as ourselves, in relationship to God, in relationship to one another. Resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. It goes on and on and on. In glory, in beauty. This is the hope that we have. This is where the Apostles' Creed has been pointing us. Let me read from the great resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Words of the Apostle Paul to folks at the church in Corinth, that great bustling city in Greece in the first century, kind of likened to maybe a New York City or a Las Vegas. What happened in Corinth stayed in Corinth. Well, not everything. This word to the Corinthian church actually made it out and has made it all the way to us today. Hear the word of God. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also through him comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for sitting with us. In Your Word, by Your Spirit, we count on Your presence, and we pray that You would help us to grab a hold of those things that are for us, that You've given to us, truths about the nature of reality, the nature of who You are, the nature of who we are, where we're going, what it's all about. Lord, on this Easter Sunday, I pray that You would help us to affirm together the wonderful truth that You have risen, and so we too have hope in You, and we pray these things in Your name and for Your sake. Amen. Well, let me present you just a little quiz here. I'm gonna give you a phrase, a question, and I want you to respond back to me, and you can go ahead and just shout out loud, if you're feeling brave, the answer to the question. And the question is, what television show or advertisement does this phrase, this question, come from? Are you ready? I'm going to start with a hard one. Here is the question. You tell me what show or advertisement this comes from. Deal or No Deal? What's the show? Deal or No Deal. Very good. Okay, you guys are sharp. All right, here's another one. What's in your wallet? Capital One. Very good. Whoever said American Express, good job. It means you're not watching too much TV. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. Capital One. What's in your wallet? Here's a little tricky one. This actually goes back in time a little ways. You ready? Very famous commercial from way back when. The question was, where's the beef? Wendy's, that was right. It was a Wendy's ad. That's very good. Okay, here's the last one. Is that your final answer? Who wants to be a millionaire? Right, very good. Who wants to be a millionaire? You know, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? That's a show that actually has a question as a title. Kind of cool. And I kind of find myself thinking, boy, I hope that's not your final question. I mean, is that the final question for us in life? Who wants to be a millionaire? Purpose of life, become a millionaire or don't. Is that the final question? You know, if I was sitting there with Regis, and I have to say, see, there's another Regis fan back there. Yeah. It's sad. Regis is no longer the host. I know. Before you were even born, Regis stopped being the host. It's really not fair. And now Meredith Vieira is the host now. I guess it's still on somewhere. It's not as popular as it used to be. It was better when it was Regis, right? Now, my wife used to try to dress me like Regis, you know, in that mono color thing where his tie, everything was the same color. Yeah. I think it works for me. Don't you like it? It's pretty good. Black on black. Yeah. It's my Regis robe. But if I'm sitting with Regis and he says, is that your final answer? And I'm hoping that's not his final question. Because it means I got it wrong and he doesn't have any more questions to ask me. I want him to ask me some more questions. And either you have another question for me or else you're giving me $1 million. Either one would be fine. But I don't want it to be the last question. And in life, I think, you know, so many questions. Who wants to be a millionaire? What's in your wallet? I hope there are better final questions than that. We've got some questions that we might want to ask. I sort of imagine, and you can come along with me. What choice do you have? Right, I'm up front here. If you get up and leave, it might be embarrassing for everybody. But come along with me and sort of let's imagine Regis. I'm gonna stick with Regis because he really was the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire guy. Regis with God, sitting in the chairs, and Regis asked God this question: what has happened between God the Creator and people, made in His image for relationship with Him? What's happened? God says, well, Regis, death came through the decision of Adam and Eve in the garden to rebel against me. They were cast out of paradise and cursed. Is that your final answer? No. Oh, no. I called to Abraham, and he trusted me, and his descendants became my people, the Jews. Is that your final answer? Let's use one of your lifelines. Let's ask the audience of God's people. They say, yes, they are the chosen people, and that's it. Final answer. What do you say? No. They turned away from me time after time, despite my promise and power for them. So their kingdom was short-lived. They were deported and held captive by stronger nations. Final answer? Oh, no. Their religious practices and worship of me were restored under the Persians and then the Greeks and then the Romans, but it was only a shadow of what was to come. So I take it that's not your final answer. I myself came. I, as God the Son, Jesus the Christ, God in the flesh, the incarnate deity, I came to earth to be with them, to teach them, to do what they needed me to do. Final answer? How about another lifeline? Let's call your friends. Hello? Religious leaders? This is Regis Philbin from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You say you are friends of God? I'm asking for some help here. Can you help God answer this question? God coming to earth and living among us. Is that the answer we need? Uh-huh. Okay? Yeah. Okay. All right, well, thank you very much. They say, kill that answer. And kill me they did. The Son of God brought light, and they preferred to remain in the dark. He told the truth, and they couldn't silence him fast enough. He taught love and faith and courage, and they would have none of it. I died horribly, enduring the torture of the cross for them, for all my people. I gave my life that they might be free to return to me and find eternal life. So that's your final answer then? No, there is more. Much more. Infinitely more. The third day I rose again from the dead. That is my final answer. That is the final answer. Death is defeated, swallowed up in victory. Life in Christ is eternal. He is risen. He is risen indeed. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. In Christ, all will be made alive. Resurrection of Jesus Christ is God's final answer to every human dilemma, including and especially the problem of death. The Apostle Paul argues in 1 Corinthians 15 against those who deny that the dead are raised. He says essentially, if you say Christ has been raised from the dead, then you must also say there is such a thing as resurrection of the dead. And if there is such a thing as resurrection of the dead, then there is good reason for us to hope for our own resurrection out of death. It all hinges on whether or not Jesus was raised. If he has, then his whole life, all of his teaching, all of his promises are seen in a whole new light and take on incomparable significance. Paul the Apostle says that if Jesus has not been raised, certain things are not true. But what he is really communicating is that since he is risen, these things are true. He makes this profoundly clear in verses 20 to 22. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who had fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Because Christ has been raised from the dead, friends, everything is changed. Everything is new. Because Christ has been raised from the dead, we have a final answer. A final answer for everything. And I'm going to offer this as sort of a nice, modern, more contemporary alternative to he is risen indeed. I'm going to say, resurrection of Jesus, and you say, final answer. All right? We're going to use this. Resurrection of Jesus. Very good. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. Where am I going, ultimately? Where are you going, ultimately? We understand how life works. We understand time is the way things are. You used to be young and you're getting older. All of us. You move from point A to point B. Yesterday is yesterday and tomorrow is tomorrow and today is today, and that's how things work. We're going somewhere. Where are we going? Resurrection of Jesus. Very good. You and I can be, through faith in him, will be raised to life. How do we know this is true? What lay behind this hope beyond hope? This conviction of life beyond this physical life that we enjoy. Resurrection of Jesus. Final answer. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. As a preacher, I really appreciate that word of Paul. Hey, if Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, you're wasting your time. This is a waste of time. It's useless, he says, if Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead. Question, which way should I go now? What should I be doing? How should I be living? I mean, let's face it. There's a lot of ideas out there about what you're supposed to give yourself to, how you're supposed to live, what's good, what's bad. What's best? How are people supposed to conduct themselves? And there's people in churches all over the place today and every Sunday and other times preaching God's word. Well, is it just another opinion? Is it just another group of people that have found a pretty clever way of manipulating people? Call it preaching God's word when it's just really another human opinion? Well, the answer to that is no. Our biblical preaching is useful. Why? Because it's about what God has said. The same God who came into the world in Jesus Christ, and the same God who died for us and then was raised to life. A God who showed this is truth, not merely by saying, I say so, but by demonstrating His truth that transcends all of the ways of the world. The world says death is death and that's it. And Jesus said, oh no, this is truth beyond death. So how do we know that preaching is useful? Preaching the Word of God, the revealed Word of God. On what basis would we say that? Resurrection of Jesus. Final answer. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Is there somebody I can trust who won't let me down? I mean, let's face it, we've all put our trust in somebody or something at one time or another, and they didn't deliver. Either they were lying to us, they really didn't care, they just were trying to manipulate us, and we trusted, and we paid for that trust, because it was somebody who wasn't trustworthy, because they weren't honest. Or maybe things that we trust in. I know, let's trust in the strength of the American economy. Not a bad idea. I mean, in the overall scheme of things, not a really horrible idea, but the fact of the matter is the American economy cannot deliver on the promise to take care of everybody. It can't. Actually, something like economy doesn't want to or not want to, but it just isn't able. You may have trusted in someone who is absolutely sincere, but couldn't do it, didn't have the strength. They said they would, but then they couldn't. Is there somebody that you can trust in who has the strength to deliver on their promises, but also the goodness to promise what they mean and mean what they promise? Is there somebody like that? Yes, there is. God Almighty, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ our Lord. Good and strong. How do we know that? What lay behind that? How can we make a statement like that? I can trust in Jesus and He won't let me down. How can I say that? Resurrection of Jesus. Final answer. Our Christian faith is valuable because it's faith in one who is trustworthy and powerful. More than that, Paul goes on, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. Is there real truth? Or is it all just opinion? Is it just a matter of people manipulating things, as I indicated before? Or is there real truth that lay behind these things? I mean, is it just one way or another way? I mean, is the Christian faith just another thing that people have discovered throughout history that provides us a way of controlling people? I've heard people say this. Oh, the Christian faith, the church, is wonderful because it controls people. It isn't really true. It's a bunch of fables and legends. But it helps to keep people under control. It gives people a reason not to just riot all the time or just give themselves into chaos. So you have these religious ideas that serve a pragmatic purpose. But I tell you what, if that's all it's about, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Is there real truth? Or is it all just kind of up for grabs? And it's just whoever happens to be the power person of the time or a way to manipulate other people, my idea versus your idea. Is there anything behind it? Is there real truth behind it? The answer is, yes, there is. How do we know that? What provides a foundation for us saying that this is true? Because a man came into the world, lived in the world, died in the world, and was raised to life. A truth beyond, above, behind every truth that we see. Real truth. Beyond material reality. In fact, what material reality and the ordered universe we live in is based on. Real truth that is found in God Himself. How can we say something like that? resurrection of Jesus Christ, final answer. We are telling the truth. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Can anybody save me from myself? Can anybody undo all the hurts that I've caused people in the past? Can anybody change who I am even now? A selfish jerk, if you let me. I'm working on it. I've got some good help on it, but who can save me from myself? Who can erase the sins that I've committed? Oh, and I knew what I was doing much of the time. And so did you. I'm not a really good person, and neither are you. Not by God's standards. Is there anybody that can do anything about that? Is there anybody that can make it possible for me to be in fellowship with God? Perfect God. Absolutely perfect. No flaw whatsoever in God's moral perfection. Can he have union with me in all my sin? He absolutely can't. It ruins his perfection if he joins himself to me. It won't work for him. Is there anyone that can erase that? That has the will to do that and the power to do that so that I can be with God forever? That I can be raised into life eternal with God rather than away from God? Anyone can do that? Yes, Jesus Christ. We are not still in our sins because of Jesus. He paid the penalty through his death, and then he was raised to life. How do we know that Jesus actually accomplished that for us? What lay behind that astounding claim that my sins can actually be wiped out in God's sight? And I can be restored in fellowship. I can live in fellowship with God forever, tomorrow, starting today. What lay behind that hope beyond hope? You ready? Resurrection of Jesus. Final answer. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Who gets the last word about people I love, people I care about? Can I say, see you later, and mean it every time? Those who have died are not lost. We have reason to hope for everyone we care about because of Jesus, because of the love of God, because of the work completed by Jesus, through whom people are saved and brought back into relationship with God forever, live forever in heaven. How can we say this? How can we hope for people? Resurrection of Jesus. Final answer. We have hope beyond this life. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, Paul says. What if I don't get everything I want in this life? What if I don't achieve all of my dreams? What if I don't fully realize my potential? What if I don't become a completely self-actualized person in this life? What if there are things that aren't done? What if my bucket list is longer than I have time to complete? Or what happens if I complete a bucket list and then just start making another one? Sooner or later, I kick the bucket. What happens if in this life I don't realize all my potential? If I don't do all the things I wish I could do? Become the person I wish I could become? Is there still hope? Yes, there is. Because it's not about what you and I accomplish in this life. Nobody gets it all done, and we don't have to. We just have to get one thing done. We have to get connected with God through Jesus Christ. And then live the rest of our lives in the wonder of that Easter reality. There is an eternal life coming. It doesn't all have to happen here and now. It's okay for you to be who you are and to have done what you've done and to be able to do what you're able to do. God will take care of the rest of it, and we have an eternity of glory to look forward to. How do we know this? Resurrection of Jesus. Final answer. Finally, Paul says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. I think what Paul's getting at is, we Christians are idiots if Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead. It just wipes out all the stuff we're saying. We're just fooling ourselves. We're just pushing our agenda versus other agendas, our religion versus other religions, but it isn't really based on anything solid. We've manufactured this. And if that's true, we should be pitied. We're lying about things that are important, and we are holding ourselves back from what we might get in life. We really should be following the beer commercials. Look out for number one. Nobody's going to watch out for you if you don't watch out for yourself. Grab everything you can get because you only go around one time. Do whatever you can. Just hope you don't get caught. Don't miss out on anything. Well, what happens? What happens if I miss out? You're not going to miss out. You're not going to miss out on the things that really matter. In Jesus Christ, it's about eternity. Glory beyond anything the world has ever offered. Security. Wonder. Fulfillment. Destiny in Christ. Heaven forever. How do we know this? Why would we believe this stuff? What does it all boil down to? Why shouldn't I be out there just trying to promote number one and get everything I can so I don't miss out? Well, I'd point to two things. One, people that do that, do they get it? Do you ever grab the thing you needed? No, you live a life of emptiness. It doesn't work, which is another thing that God's put in here to point us toward the real answer. In Christ, in God, we get what we want most deeply. Our greatest hopes and desires are fulfilled in our relationship with God. Each of us has that God-shaped vacuum and nothing else but God Himself will fill it, ultimately. And we know this is the truth because of the resurrection of Jesus. Final answer. We followers of Jesus Christ are not to be pitied, we are to be joined. And friends, there are some younger brothers out there that need to know what we know and what we share. Pray for them. Share with them. Sit with Jesus. And let others see the fruit of what you've done. And watch and see how many younger brothers will come creeping along to say, hey, can I come with you? Hey, can I know these things too? You seem to have something. It looks good. Could you tell me about that? And they'll come. They wouldn't be dragged, but they will be wooed by our relationship with God in Christ. You see, newness of life is what comes because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything is changed. Everything becomes new, including my life, including your life. Can we go forth today proclaiming as God's people the old call, He is risen, but also resurrection of Jesus, final answer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we celebrate the truth that You were raised from the dead. And it wasn't our opinion that raised You. It wasn't our faith that raised You. It wasn't the history of the church and the traditions of the church that raised You. It was You Yourself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the power of God, that raised You from the dead. Lord, we thank You that You bring us to the place where we can gather together and affirm this truth. And I pray for each one of us, starting with me, that this truth would make all the difference in the world, not just in terms of our hope and peace for what might happen later on, tomorrow, but also that it might make a difference in who we are, our enjoyment of life, our security in life, our understanding of what is important and what it is that we are to know and to do and to share here and today. Lord, that indeed, for us, the question of our life would be answered by the resurrection of Jesus, and that that would be for us the final answer. And I pray these things in Your name and for Your sake. Amen. It's time for us to pray for one another. And I would encourage you